If you're honest and you do any kind of historical research as to the origins of so many of the positive aspects of American culture and why we've enjoyed so much freedom in our government, you see the Judeo-Christian tradition all over the place. And one of the classic books on that now has a new version of that classic book. It's called American Covenant, and the author is Marshall Foster. He joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Marshall, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Jerry, it's always great to be with you.
Now, you used to have a book, American Covenant, that you co-authored with somebody way back when, but now this is a totally new version of the same book. Tell us about that.
Well, it's the same concept. And of course, almost 40 years ago, I had started the World History Institute, and we had been traveling and giving seminars, and we decided to take our seminar material on how America was founded on covenants with God, beginning with the Mayflower Compact.
So I understand that the whole point of your book is that there's a link between the biblical concept of covenants and the American system, which ultimately led to the Constitution.
Exactly. When the Pilgrims came over to America exactly 400 years ago, the first thing they did was gather on the deck of the Mayflower and covenant together with the Mayflower Compact, which is the word covenant. And that's a biblical concept that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And God has used covenanting or relationship agreements with mankind from the time in the garden right on through Abraham, through Christ, of course, the ultimate covenant was confirmed in his blood, and now God covenants with nations and with individuals, and they are to live in obedience to his word, and when they don't, they suffer the consequences. When we live according to those principles, liberty and justice and freedom thrive, and that's what has been proven in history, and that's what America, especially America, was founded upon, that all the way up to the Declaration of Independence, where it states, in a covenantal document, at the end of it, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And they're doing this before God. So in essence, this is the story of America, and it's been forgotten. It's been canceled in this cancel culture. And of course, Kirk Cameron has gone on the air for 100 nights, just concluding two nights ago, in a row, teaching this new book, which I put together and been working with him now for 12 years. And we did a movie called Monumental together on the history of the Pilgrims. And so he went on the air just to teach it night after night for 100 nights. And exciting. It's become a bestseller now. Study groups have sprouted throughout the country. And I've taken and refreshed this book, put all kinds of new material in it, as we've seen America degenerate and also see signs of revival. And I've got 100 new pages in it, and it's exciting. It's exciting to see people recapturing our Christian history, Jerry.
Excellent. Yeah, you know, it seems so, again, if you study this stuff yourself and you see it, and I learned from Bill Federer about something called The Annals of America, which I really like. This is a series of books by the Encyclopedia Britannica, and it just basically, it's the key documents in American history, and volumes 1, 2, and 3 deal with the settling era and the founding era of America. And if you just look at these documents, not all of them, but most of them in those, you know, early years, many of them mention God, the Christian faith, you know, all over the place. And so there was a very strong influence of Christianity in early America. You can you elaborate on that? Did Christianity have something to do with the founding of America? There's an open-ended question for you.
Well, of course it did. The early Americans were definitely biblically based Christians, and they founded their governments as well as their churches upon the principles of the ancient Hebrew Republic. They went back to the Torah, went back to Moses, and they saw that there was the creation there of something non-existent in the ancient world, or mostly in the modern world, and that is this concept of covenant, this concept of electing representatives to represent us, but not having a king, not having anybody on top who's cheap cheese, who's better than everyone else. But everyone covenants together and holds the government accountable, and then we are accountable to be self-governing in every other area of our life. That was the view of the founders. That's how they put together their early colonial charters and each of their town covenants when they formed their towns, especially in New England. And so by the time that 1776 rolled around, they had 150 years of practice in this biblical-based model of Republican government. That's the miracle. It's absolutely irrefutable. There is nothing like it in human history. India, China, Asia, Africa, you name it, all of Europe, they were tied down by the tyrants because they had a non-biblical view of government and of life. And until you recapture that, you have no chance of lasting liberty. This is the hope of America, Jerry. We get back to God's covenant and God's ways, or we face for sure not only judgment, but tyranny upon our children.
But now we see this scenario where so many people are saying, oh, you know, America was flawed from the very beginning. There was slavery here, a year before the Pilgrims even came. And I'm sure you've heard of the 1619 Project, where they're basically saying that racism is in our national DNA. Wow. I mean, this is scary stuff because what do you do if an organism has something bad in its very DNA? You know, a lot of times you basically, destroy that organism and then, build anew. And that's what some of the Marxists want to do with America, basically tear it all down and start afresh, in some sort of Marxist, create some sort of Marxist paradise, which never works.
Well, of course. And you just study cultural Marxism, take it back to Gramsci, take it back to Lenin, and you find out that they found out in the West, especially in America, they couldn't sell economic socialism or communism because everybody wanted to be a millionaire and everybody had the freedom to be a millionaire. And so they didn't sell here. Of course, we just simply need to go back to the cultural Marxism and back to Gramsci and back to Lenin to see that their strategy was to divide the West. And they realized that to divide and conquer and destroy the cultures of the West, especially in America, they couldn't do it with economics or economic theory where they would have the bourgeois and the proletariat. They needed something which was a greater weakness. And so they found that the racial problem is a weakness for America because we did have the slavery issue. And so as a result, they've taken advantage of that and said that basically because of that sin, and of course the sins like this in all nations, but they've taken it and they've divided our people based upon it and saying that that is so sinful that you've got to destroy the entire culture and then rebuild it in a new socialist model. It has nothing to do with racial equality or let's make it better for the black community. It is really all about control and power.
And that's where
they're headed. We want both. We want equality under the law, but we want to have the biblically based society that gave the freedom and liberty that no other people have ever had. And you can't destroy the very organism and then expect to keep the freedom.
Wow.
That's not gonna work.
Okay, where does the Civil War fit in all this?
Well, of course, the Civil War is, again, a sad part of our history. We came close to dealing with the slave issue, but we didn't in the Constitution and in the following generations. It became accepted practice, a part of the economic structure, and it was hard to get rid of. To the point, without compromise on both either the North or South, you ended up with 650,000 men dying in a war. Terrible thing. But it didn't solve the problem. The problem has to be solved in the hearts of men as their hearts are transformed and they love one another. And, of course, that's the process that we've gone through now for another 150 years. But the central problem of America is that we need to come back to God. If we come back to God, we can solve the racial problem, the intercity problems. We can solve our economic problems and our social problems. But until we come back and covenant with God again, there is no hope. And that's where the Christian community comes in. We, the Christian community, have got to understand our heritage, not crawl back into a corner of being forced there by a cancel culture, but actually standing up for what we know to be true history and standing up for the biblical principles that will bring liberty for all races. And if we do that, we take back the culture. If we don't, the church will have to go underground.
Wow. How did you learn all these things, Marshall?
Well, I spent the last 50 years doing it. I think it was all during the Jesus movement. I was with Campus Crusade for Christ, and I was debating on the college campus at Berkeley for 2 summers and all over California and all over America in the late 60s and early 70s with the communists on the campus, on the free speech platforms. And the more I studied men like Francis Schaeffer and other Christian scholars who were realizing that the problem is the Christian community needed to enter the fray. We needed to know our history. We needed to know what's going on in society, and we need to take a stand. And I realized that the Marxists were taking the campus. They were taking the minds of our youth. And so I dedicated myself, and my wife and I started the World History Institute in 1976, and it's now at 45 years old.
Wow.
And we've been continuing to teach this message for that long. And now, finally, the Christian community, in light of the despair that we're facing right now, is beginning to wake up. And Kirk Cameron has had a big part of that with his Campfire Revival. It's just people are just saying, yes, I want to learn these things, and I want to turn America around.
Wow. So do you have hope for America?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. I have real hope. I think we're going to go through a dark period. We're in a dark period right now. But we've had at least 5 great awakenings in our past. And those awakenings have always been in times of trial, either in war or depression or pandemics. And in the past, this has caused the people to turn back to God. And we did again and again in the first awakening in the 18th century, again in the 19th century with the second great awakening, and right on through even to the Jesus movement in the 70s. Now it's 50 years after that, and we're due for another great awakening. And I believe that's what's going to happen, Jerry. I think we're on the cusp of it right now as the church comes out of this COVID and begins to meet again and say, wait, what have we done wrong? What do we need to do? I think God is going to meet us as we meet him in prayer and in power and study, and we say, God, what do you want us to do? We're still the largest institution in America. We still have more resources and more power than any other people if we simply would stand up for what we believe.
Wow. All right, we're basically out of time, but I wanted you to join us again for another discussion about this. What's your website for American Covenant?
Yes, you can get the book, The American Covenant, at worldhistoryinstitute.com. worldhistoryinstitute.com, and that's where you get it.
Okay, thank you so much, Marshall. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.